today on Real Radio.
And other parts of the world where there are people starving to death, and 3 feet away from them is a fat cow ready to be barbecued.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at the first 5 verses of Luke chapter 6. Certain Jewish leaders were observing Messiah Jesus and his Jewish followers, trying to find fault. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Jesus Christ, Lord of All.
Is it nothing, or is it something, for God to say, hey, cancer cell, I command you right now to go back to the way you're supposed to act? When he speaks the word, it affects the community in which we live in. And that community may be our very own blood system, or whatever it might be. When God says, you know what, you've got diabetes, and that's a scientific fact, and you're just not healed of it that way, and somebody prays for you, and God moves. What does God do? He overrides the physical laws that he's established. It's nothing for him. To us, we say, a miracle. Does God go, thanks for noticing? Boy, that one took a lot of energy out of me. That was a big one. Whew! I'm glad you noticed. When God created everything, on that seventh day, did he say, man, am I beat? He's not put to stress by physical issues. By the way, he's not put to stress by any issues. When the Bible says that God rested on the seventh day, he's trying to send us a message. We need the rest. We need the break. God teaches by example. That's why Jesus came. And he's the Lord of all that is spiritual. The whole meaning of the Sabbath, if it's just the keeping of a day, you've missed it completely. You see, the Pharisees, they were so stuck to the day. What? You did this on this day? It's not the day. It's the spirit behind the Sabbath. They missed it. They were so bound by religion that they missed the meaning. Are you with me, everybody? They were so bound by what was on the calendar that they couldn't see the reasons why. They didn't understand nor even think God didn't need to rest when he created all things, but he took a rest anyway. Gee, what does that mean? There's a reason for it. The Lord is Lord over all that is spiritual. That's why the scripture says regarding the Sabbath day, they walked through the grain fields. By the way, it doesn't tell us how long or how far they walked, but as they walked through the grain fields, we look at this. Also, the second consideration under the fact that he's the Lord of all creation, he's the Lord of all that is physical. Jesus is the Lord of all that is physical. Now, I bring this in light of the Sabbath. Is the Sabbath holy? Yes. Is there a great reason for why he's given it? Yes. But do we understand the reason why? What does it matter if you know the Ten Commandments, but you don't know the reason why they were given? What does it matter if you know the reason why this is stated? You see it, I should say. You read it. It's there posted. And someone asks you, why are we doing this? I don't know why, but it's posted. You need to know the reason why. So he's Lord of creation. He's Lord of that which is spiritual. And he's Lord of that which is physical. And the Sabbath speaks of both, that which is physical and spiritual. And we need to understand the meaning. Listen, just by way of review, keep this in your mind. Exodus 16:29 says, behold, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. He's given it to you. That's a gift, you guys. He didn't say the Lord beat you over the head with the Sabbath. The Lord tied it around your neck and it turned out to be a big bummer for you. He gave to you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread enough for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out and do any work on the seventh day. Why? The word Sabbath, mark it down, means to relax, to kick back. We say the word today, it's just the same thing. We say today, put your feet up. hey, why don't you come over and put your feet up? You know the word, we could say, hey, why don't you come on over and Sabbath? It means to repose, to recline, to rest, to cease from labor. Church, are you hearing this? God says, hey, you know what? One day a week, I'll provide enough for you during the rest of the other 6 days that on that day of rest, I've provided enough all week. I don't want you to do anything. I want you to stay home. I want you to be blessed. Don't pick up any tools. Anybody in their right mind would say, can we have two of them? Right? It's a good thing. God says, look, I made everything and I'm taking a rest. I want you to do the same thing. It's a good thing. So he says, I want you to do this. Exodus 16:29, he says so. What about Exodus 20, verse 10? Exodus 20, verse 10 says, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord your God, and in it you shall do no work, nor your sons, your daughters, your male servants, your female servants, your cattle, or even the stranger who dwells within your gates. Take a break. Boy, is this anti-culture, for us? Exodus 31:17, the Sabbath shall be a sign between you and the children of Israel, or he says, between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, but on the seventh day he rested. Wow. So that which is spiritual, that which is physical, there's a connection between the two. By the way, did you realize this, church? This concept that Jesus is introducing and that is going to be argued here is not something too far from you at all, for you are sitting here right now. That's a physical act. You came here and you sat down. Did you know you did that physically? But you didn't come here for physical reasons. Think about it. It's exactly the same. You came here physically, but not for physical reasons. You came here physically for spiritual reasons. The Bible says, do not be deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You are now, it looks like you're doing nothing. I mean, look at you. I mean, you're sitting here. But if I were to judge outwardly, I'd be dead wrong, because inside, your inward man spiritually is being renewed right now by the Word of God. You're being built up in the Spirit. You are sowing to the spiritual truth of God's Word, though you are physically sitting here. Way back at Calvary Costa Mesa years ago, we used to sing a song, and I don't even know the words of it anymore, except for this one part. We would sing, we've been blessed because we came. It's a great old song. Did you know that's true? Why do I need to go to church? You don't need to go to church, but you should go. Something happens. Well, I'll listen on the internet. Well, if you live in Bangkok, okay, I understand that. It's kind of hard to drive here. But you know what? If you're down the street, or from any church for that matter, get up and go to church, will you? There's something special and there's something spiritual about doing a physical act that employs the work of the Holy Spirit in the gathering of the believers. Somebody might say, I've grown too big spiritually to go to church anywhere. I'm just going to stay home. You're crazy. You're all messed up. You're violating the very word of God that says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, do not forsake the gathering together. You may be brilliant in the word of God. The Pharisees were brilliant in the word of God. They could quote it, but they didn't know what it meant because they didn't do it. And you'll only live out the Bible when you are around God's people. You say, Pastor Jack, I've been around God's people and I don't like them. All my troubles come from Christians. Hey, I'm a pastor. All my troubles come from Christians too. You know why? It's because we're related to one another. That's why. We're a big family. But you know what? The truth is, that's how we grow. You want to grow? I mean, you want to grow. Get involved in serving God's people. Ask Moses. He'll tell you all. Well, he already told you all about it. First five books of the Bible, he tells you all about it. And I love the fact that Moses says, God, I can't take him anymore. These people are driving me nuts. Kill him. And then God says, Moses, calm down. Now, what would Pharaoh think? What would Egypt think? If I brought them out of the land of Egypt and I didn't rescue them, then it would look bad. I'm not going to do that. They're my people. Moses, you can see him kick a rock and he walks away. Then the next day, God says, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill every one of them. Moses is now, God, calm down now. have you read that? When they're coming out of Egypt, God and Moses never agreed on that issue on the same day. It's amazing. God's people. The truth is, what is going on in your life right now, whoever you are, whatever your name is, whatever is happening in your life now, though it may appear to be physical, there's a spiritual reason behind it. You miss that, and you're going to miss the whole meaning of what you're living for in this time. Listen, they walked through. Look at verse 1. It says that they walked and they had the grains and they were rubbing the grains together and they were eating. You know what? Did you know that was lawful for them to do? The Pharisees missed it. They got so bound up in legalistic rules that were man-made that they missed the Bible. They should have known Deuteronomy 23:25. Jot it down. You're going to want to write it right next to verse 1. Deuteronomy 23, verse 25. God says to the people of Israel, when you walk into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads of wheat and rub it in your hand and eat it. Just don't use a sickle on your neighbor's land. Did you hear that? Isn't that cool? What does it mean? Well, you're walking along, and as you're walking along, you're hungry. Man, it's a long walk. I'm hungry. We didn't pack a lunch. You walk through a field, you grab with your hand grains of wheat, and you begin to rub it, and you begin to eat it, and you go on your way. God says, cool. Just don't pull a sickle out of your backpack and start harvesting the guys. Can you imagine? Hey, I'm hungry. Yeah, me too. And start harvesting. Now you're stealing. It's not your field. Eat what you need. Go on your way. God said that in the Word. Jesus with the disciples were doing the Word of God. They were eating. Can everybody say amen?
Amen?
Amen. No problem. But the Pharisees saw that as work because they had established rules. You can't do that on the Sabbath day. You can't do that at all. And it all comes down to valuing the law and the rules and the regulations or life and love for God. Which is it for you? Rules and regulations. This is the way that it is. This is the way that we've got to do. At the expense of life and love and limb. 2,000 years after Jesus Christ has come. And you can go visit India and other parts of the world where there are people starving to death. And 3 feet away from them is a fat cow ready to be barbecued. But the person will starve to death because that cow could be someone's uncle. Did you know that? What's more important to God? The rules and regulations or love, life, or limb? Jesus announced it in the Gospel of Mark. He said, listen, man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. In other words, man doesn't live to keep that rule. The truth is the rule was given to bless man. We take the commands of God and we make them a big, burdensome, ugly thing. When Jesus says, you know what? Do this commandment. Oh no, what is it? Oh no. Love one another. Jesus says the commandments of God are not burdensome. Isn't it amazing? Spiritual, physical. Jeremiah 17, 21, the Lord says, take heed to yourselves that you bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring a burden into the gates of Jerusalem. Why? Take a break, will you? Take an ease. But the Pharisees would have nothing to do with that. Oh, listen, hang on to your seats, everybody. Ushers, guard the doors. Israel got prosperous. They got blessed. Crops, bumper crops. God's blessing big time. Money's rolling in. They got so much grain going on. They got so much fruit. They got so much stuff happening. And they got so blessed that they got hooked on the blessings instead of the blesser. It's easy to do, you know. God blesses you with a car and you wind up worshiping the thing. Wax it. Wash it. Oh, most holy Beamer. Or whatever, you know. Oh, and you know, yeah, I'm just talking to the guys now. The girls, you don't have a clue about this stuff. But, you know, you get something nice, and especially it's a car, and it's like, man, I gotta park it way out there now. I can't do that. Oh, it's raining. I can't take it out. It can take hold of our hearts. You begin to love the blessing rather than the blesser. And so Israel was prospering, and in Amos chapter 8, verse 5, God is rebuking the nation. And listen to this. He says to them, "You say, Israel, when will the new moon be passed and we can go out and sell grain again? And when will the Sabbath be over so we can trade and make money again and take an ephah and a small ephah and make great shekels? And when can we falsify our scales with deceit to make money?" Did you hear that? Get the religious stuff over so we can go back out there and make some more money. Come on, let's go. I'm not going to go to church today. I got a sale pending. God says, "I'm watching you and I'm going to judge you for that. I gave you a day off to take a break and there's a reason for it. It's not just to watch the Laker game. It's to sit around and to spend time with your family. It's to love on your husband. It's to love on your wife. It's to love on your children. Children, it's to love on your parents. Turn off everything and sit together." I'm saying this right now because I was convicted 2 weeks ago in Israel when some friends of ours who are Jewish had us for their home, and they said on Friday night after Shabbat dinner, "Will you stay with us this weekend? Stay the night with us. Tomorrow is Sabbath. Let's go out into the field. Let's have a picnic and let's just relax and talk and let's just watch the kids play." They do that there. Oh, that's legalism. Not from their hearts. I know these people. It's not that thing. Love family. Think on God. Worship Him. See, we kind of disguise it a little bit. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to go to church this week. I got to do this and I got to do that. And I'll worship God while I'm doing that. You know, we say that to make ourselves feel better. Now, again, ushers, guard those doors. We've been blessed so much that, you know what? We've mismanaged blessings in our Western culture. God gives us something, we turn around and we take it, and then we throw it to the wind, we get in debt, and then we have it, and then we've got to work 8 days a week and 366 days a year just to pay for it. And once we got it, we can't even afford to put gas in it now because it's over $3 a gallon, and it becomes an anchor to our soul, and we say, "Well, we're really blessed," and we spend no time with God or family. Our kids go this way, we go that way, our marriage goes this way, and we wonder why. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Put first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you." Amen. No, the Sabbath is not a law for us to keep. It's a joy for us to have. And listen, let's be honest. I'm not issuing some rule. I'm just saying this. God says, take a break once a week. That's what He says. Now, look, personally, I can't Sabbath on Saturday and I can't Sabbath on Sunday. Pastors work the hardest on Saturdays and Sundays. Monday's my Sabbath. Okay, but what's your Sabbath? You need to find a day and put God first. And it doesn't mean jam-pack it with all kinds of other stuff. It means to focus on the Lord. And the Western culture has missed this. The founding of our nation early on, this was a very key factor that we would not only, like Israel, let the land lay rest, but we would also... Do you guys, is anyone old enough to remember that gas stations were not even open on Sundays when I was growing up? You could barely go to a store on Sundays. Nothing was open. Does anybody remember that? Raise your hand. I felt so alone for a moment. Hey, Chick-fil-A, Christian Corporation. They're not open. Did you know that? Is this true? Did In-N-Out Burger close on Easter Sunday? Is that true? That's awesome. Another Christian company. I mean, that's not the reason why. But they are a Christian company, so they closed on Easter Sunday. They honored God. They sent a message. It's amazing. It's to give us a rest. You say, "Well, I can't afford a Sabbath." Oh, let me tell you. Look at the history of the nation of Israel. God says, "You didn't give me Sabbaths? All right, I'm going to get it out of you." And God wiped them out, put them flat on their back until He got His Sabbaths out of them. You won't rest? Watch this. And He pulled the rug out from underneath their feet as a nation. They fell flat on their back, and He got His time. They cried out to Him for 70 years. It's best not to do that. And the Lord's eternal. He's not only the Lord of creation, He's the Lord that's eternal. Verse 2. And this Pharisee said, "Why are you doing this? It's not lawful to do on a Sunday, or on a Sabbath day, excuse me." And He's the Lord eternal. He's the Lord over all that's eternal. Now, let me give a little bit of a credit to the Pharisees. This is what they believed. It wasn't right, but I want you to see if you can pick up on this. What's the big deal about the keeping of the law to them? Why this particular law, church, listen, why did they be so bent on the Sabbath day observance when they bent so many of the other laws and broke them flagrantly? And they did, you know. Why this one? Because the ancient rabbis taught that the Lord, the Messiah, could not come for the nation of Israel to deliver them from any of their troubles until the Sabbath had been kept perfectly. That was a man-made religion. They had to live a Sabbath life in such a way that brought the Messiah to the nation. And did you know that doctrine still is around today? It's permeated Christianity. If we just live good enough and right enough and take over everything, then the Lord will come back. It's called dominion theology. It's from the ancient rabbis. It's caught on and still goes around today. We'll make a world worthy for the Lord to come back too. The Pharisees believed that. We'll keep the Sabbath in such a way. So you see, they saw Jesus as a direct attacker to what they were hoping to achieve, even though God never said that in the Bible. It was a tradition. How many traditions do you and I keep that we would almost defend to the death? And they're not even biblical. God doesn't even care about them. It's best to obey the Lord and not be sidelined by the traditions of men. Romans 14, 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Here Jesus is standing before them, the Lord eternal. They had the announcement 33 years earlier. The angels announced that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Micah 5, verse 2, that this is the Jesus who was eternal. Isaiah 7, 14 and Isaiah 9, 6, that he's the eternal Savior of the world. But the Bible says in John 1, 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him. He's the creator. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own people, but his own received him not. It's amazing. Second point this morning, verses 3 and 4, Jesus Christ, Lord of all, he's the Lord of man. Did you know that? The Lord is the Lord of mankind. He presides over us. I know sometimes you look around this world, you wonder, what in the world is going on? Man, church, I tell you, all the world events that are happening right now, it's making it really easy for me to very soon break our normal studies and get into some prophetic teachings of the Bible. Because, man, what's cooking in the Middle East is radical. And you can read Ezekiel 36, 7, 8, and 9. We could see the stages of that coming together with the treaty between Russia and Persia right now and this crazy president of theirs. My goodness, what an amazing moment. The U.S. distracted by terrorism. Israel out there, vulnerable. Iran launching that rocket with multiple warheads as a test to strike Jerusalem. Wow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called Jesus Christ, Lord of All. It's a look at the first five verses of Luke chapter 6, and we'll continue in our journey through the Gospel of Luke on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us again. Now, you may know that we just wrapped up the Southern California Bible Conference here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And if you were unable to attend, or listen, or watch online, you may obtain the CD or DVD. Either way, they're available for purchase through Real Radio. There's more than one way to get in touch with us. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.